Welcome to the Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast channel. I'm Kate, and I'll be hosting this session. In this podcast series, we will be talking to graduate teachers, mentors, and experts about a variety of different topics that relate to each edition's framing question. We will also get the graduates and mentors to share some reflections on their practices that may assist you in yours. In each podcast, the graduates and mentors will be asked the same questions so that you can hear the different perspectives on each topic. Okay, so sit back and relax, and let's get on to this edition of the Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast, Talking to a Graduate Teacher. Hi, thanks for being part of this podcast. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about where you are working and some of your experiences?
Sure. My name is Kevin, and I'm currently working at Parkdale Secondary College as a classroom music teacher. I've been teaching there since the start of this year, but I've been doing a lot of instrumental teaching in the past. I've done it for about 5 years now, and I have also musically directed shows throughout schools, as well as amateur and semi-professional productions. I've been having a lot of fun at these schools, and I've been teaching a lot as well. For this year, I've been CRTing for the last year as well, which has been an interesting experience along the way.
In the first section of this podcast, our discussion will focus on the framing questions for this edition. How do you get to know your students, and what sorts of information do you look for?
I get to know the students generally by talking and listening to them. I find it really helpful in regards to building a rapport with students, and it also makes them feel like I'm an approachable person. Usually it's a simple hello, good morning, how's life, how are you? It makes me feel good, and it makes them feel like I'm someone that they're happy to talk to about just anything, not just schoolwork. I'm not looking so much for any specific information, but as I said before, I'm kind of just enjoying a conversation with them. I also talk about a couple of things, like what they do on the weekend, their interests, what they get up to, sporting teams, that kind of stuff. Being a music teacher, I ask them about music generally quite a lot. My current year 10s currently tell me about their games, their Fortnite, their soundtracks that they've been working on, that type of stuff. And it's been a very enjoyable chance for me to get to know them outside of music classes.
How have you been using this information to form relationships?
Well, it's been useful getting to know their hobbies and interests, just incorporating their interests into my classes as well. As I mentioned before, Fortnite and other video games I can bring up in classes in terms of looking at video game music, video game soundtracks, relating it to the elements of music and that type of stuff. I also get to know them as people, so that they don't feel like they're just another person in the system. They kind of become, they have the ability to become their own person, and that's always one of the more rewarding parts about being a teacher. And just generally being relatable, just being able to relate to them and drag them in a sense, like hook them into my classes and engage them in the learning.
What information do you share with your students about yourself, and how do you choose what that information is?
I'm much more open to my students in regards to information that I share about myself than other teachers that I know. Most of the questions from students I'm very happy to answer, including like my hobbies, my weekend escapades, which really at the moment just includes adventures with my puppy and like, you know, movies that I've seen and other stuff like that. I think it's a pretty common sense type of thing where there are certain topics that you really shouldn't bring up with students. And on those odd moments where a student brings up a topic that I might be a little bit uncomfortable talking about, I usually respond with something like, I don't really have an opinion on the topic, or this isn't really a topic that I really wanted to talk about. Can we move on?
What techniques do you implement in your classroom to create a caring and supportive environment?
Well, being approachable, encouraging. I am very open to the mistakes that I make in the classroom, and I'm very open to supporting students in embracing their mistakes. I don't ever claim that I'm perfect or that I know all the answers. I mean, just the other day I told students I have no idea, and that led to an adventure through the internet where we were trying to find the answer. I also try to remember what it was like to be a student in their shoes, and I try and empathize with the students, especially when they start to feel a little bit uncomfortable with things.
What could you do differently?
There's heaps of things that I could probably do differently, but it just doesn't seem natural to me. I've always been a generally positive person, and I've been lucky enough to have teachers that I've looked up to, and they generally are positive people as well. And I try and encourage that positivity in my classroom. And I find it very helpful, especially to the students, to realize that it's okay to be themselves in the space.
In the second part of the podcast, our guests will share general reflections on their teaching practice to give you some tips that might help you in your first few years of teaching. What advice do you have for graduate teachers?
I've received a lot of advice through the years, but the one that really sticks with me is to be true to myself. The kids, they see through the fake straight away, and essentially they'll eat you alive. Understand that it's okay to say no to things, and perhaps most importantly, remembering that everything that we do in the classroom or do in general, we do it for them.
What are your time management tips?
I am absolutely horrible with time management. Throughout uni, I had a habit of procrastinating. But I guess the one thing that I recommend that works for me is to try and do as much of my work at school as possible, whether that means that I stay later than I'm expected to or even getting to school earlier. But it means that when I go home, I just get time to switch off and I just enjoy something away from teaching, away from the students and the structure of school.
In a new career, it can be sometimes tricky to ask for help. In your opinion, who should graduates turn to?
I've always been someone who's been very open to asking for help. As other teachers and my mentor teachers will tell you, I'm always asking questions about, like, where's this? I don't know how to do this. How does Compass work? I think that for me, staying in contact with the really good mentor teachers from placement or even just teachers in general can be a good place to ask for help. I'm still in contact with a lot of my old mentor teachers and I send them inboxes with questions and stuff that I don't quite understand yet. Also, in the school that I'm at, I can't say for most schools, but in the school that I'm at, they assigned me a mentor teacher and he's great. He happens to be my boss and he's also an amazing person to ask for help. He's always been on my side and just generally giving me tips and of how to cope with students or the school in general. Another thing that my mentor teacher is really good at is responding to the stuff that I don't understand about, like, staff meetings and the running, who do actually talk to in regards to, like, seeking a budget or excursions, applying for PDs, that type of stuff that they really don't prepare you at uni for. And I guess finally, asking the help of my team. I've got a team of teachers with me. I'm very lucky in that case. And I constantly ask them for help. They teach the similar subjects to me. And it's always fun going, oh, I taught this subject like this, this class like this. And then they turn back and go, oh, I did something completely different. And it's fun to compare ideas and very useful for that.
Give us your words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom. I have a lot. A lot of people have told me a lot of things, given me a lot of advice. But I think jumping into absolutely everything that you can. I know I mentioned earlier that it's okay to say no, but just I enjoy jumping into a lot of the activities, the extracurricular activities, not just in music, but also like being committed in like sport events, like swimming carnivals, cheering loudly for the students, just being around, getting to know them. Musicals are great as well. I love being a part of that. Other things that I like to think about is like asking for help. That one gets a lot of people. A few of my friends struggle to ask for help, but I'm lucky in that case where I'm okay to go, I have no idea what I'm doing. And so just ask for help, befriend other people as well. The office ladies, especially the canteen people, they'll save your life one day. They've saved mine. I left my lunch at home and they were just lovely. And they generally are the people that kind of get forgotten, but they really shouldn't because they do a lot of work for us. So library staff, they're great. You should befriend them. They will do wonders for you. In fact, almost everyone in the school, including the IT staff that I know get a lot of bad rap for not being able to do things. My internet can't connect, but like, for example, the ones at Parkdale, they've saved my life many times. Internet not working, get on them. Laptop not connecting to the projector. It's just they work so hard and they deal with kids and teachers and everyone. So just be a good person.
And that's it for the Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast. Thank you to our guests for sharing their experiences and thank you for listening. We will see you next time. Bye for now.